May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 485. Christ the Lord is risen today, sons of men and angels say, raise your joys and triumphs high, sing ye heavens and earth reply. Hymn 485.
Thank you. Let us read together from God's holy word, from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapters 1 and 2. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapters 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. May God bless that reading of his holy word and teach us how to pray. Most kind and gracious Lord, we come before thee once more on this thy day and plead once more that thy presence may be with us, that thou wilt be with us, that we may see no man save Jesus only, that thou wilt, Lord, come and reveal thyself to us each. We would see Jesus this night in all his suitability, in all his fullness, in all his riches of his grace. And we would, Lord, seek to reach out our hand to touch the hem of thy garment. We pray, Lord, for each who gather here. Lord, we're a group of poor, needy sinners. We're, Lord, gathered round thy word. In all our needs, in all our unrighteousness, in all our filthiness. And we thank thee, Lord, for that way made. We thank thee that we can come in prayer before thee. Though thou art holy, 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 yet through the beloved Son we come unto thee. We come with that trust, that hope in that sin atoning blood. And it is that we plead this night, that thou would have mercy upon us, that thou would help us in our worship of thee. For Lord, we are vile sinners. Lord, we can do nothing aright in thy sight unless thou dost attend to our needs. Then lead us, we pray. May all that's said, all that's done this night, be according to thy holy will. May thy precious blood be sprinkled upon our service this night and upon our poor prayers. And may we find acceptance in the Beloved through his merits and not our own. For Lord, we've nothing good to bring. And so we do come leaning hard on thee this evening. Thou hast been our help. Thou hast made known thy presence, Lord, in this place. May this be a gospel hour in thy courts. May a precious Christ be lifted up on that gospel pole. For thou hast said, if I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men to me. Then draw us to thee, we pray. May we go by faith to Calvary and there see mercy streams in streams of blood. Life deriving from that death, he instead of me, our great sin bearer, and may one and another, as enabled by thy Spirit, seek to make his soul an offering for their sin. We would speak and pray with reverence, for we're on holy ground. Oh, as we consider him. and that great stoop. No less almighty at his birth than on his throne supreme. An almighty God, the mysteries of it, the wonders of it, may we enter into it. May we know a little of that love in our hearts. Oh, may it be shed abroad, the love of Christ dwelling richly in our hearts. May it move us and constrain us. Breathe into our dry bones, we pray. Breathe, Lord, into our hearts. Kindle that flame. May thy spirit blow upon our garden. May the spices flow forth. May all things be done for thy honour and glory. May there be a flowing together to the goodness of the Lord this night. To bless souls, we pray. Be with any who have come with a particular burden. May they be enabled to lay it all at thy feet. May they find access there. May they find a rolling away of the stone. May all be done for them. May they see it rolled away already. And Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst get to thy holy name the honour and the glory. May none of us be a hindrance, Lord, we pray. May thy great name be glorified. We pray that thou wouldst come right where we are. Be with seeking, longing souls. Do not tarry, Lord, we pray. Oh, but may this night there be the gateway of heaven. May thy word touch those cases, set the captives free, deliver the prisoners from bondage. May there be a loosing and a letting go. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst help each. We've a sinful heart. We've a mighty foe in Satan. Lord, how we prone to wander. Our minds prone to wander. Our thoughts, Lord, how we're often taken up with the thoughts of last week and next. But do come and grant thy help this night. Shut Satan out from this place. Shut us in with thyself. Set our affections on things above. Lift us above the reach of inferior things. May the Spirit make Christ precious to each soul. And draw us to thee, we pray. May we know those everlasting arms. May we fall in to those arms. We pray for any in difficult circumstances. We think of our friends with their baby in hospital. We ask, Lord, thy blessing upon them. That in all these things, thou would make thyself precious to them. And Lord, that these things may be used for thy honour and glory and their real eternal good. And bless the little one and lay thy healing hand upon her and restore her to full health and strength if it could please thee. We pray for our friends expecting the birth of a little one. And Lord, we do pray that thou would help them each, we humbly beg. May there be a life given and life spared. May the dear mother prove that in this covenant thou shalt view sufficient strength to bear thee through. May she leave all in thy hands. Lord, help us each in the unknown way. We know not thy will for us each. We know not what a day nor an hour may bring forth. Troubles arise and troubles go. But Lord, may that one thing that's needful be in our minds. May we be right, may we be ready in the busyness of the daily things, in the many great mountains. Lord, what greater mountain is there than a never-ending eternity? Do prepare us each. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Do strip us of everything short of Christ. Lord, if any of us are building on anything other than that foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, then Lord, deal with us and bring us to that right foundation and build us up on our most holy faith, but leave none out. How could we bear that thought as we think of those who gather week by week, those, Lord, in our families we know and love, some, Lord, who have left. Oh, do have mercy upon each one. May not a hoof be left behind. May we each be found in that great sheet, knit at the four corners, and taken up into heaven at last. May each name be found written in that book of life. Lord, we may not have much. Oh, but may we have that eternal life. We pray, Lord, then that thou wouldst come and bless us each. Be with the young, the children. We pray for mercy upon them. May they live to see better days. May they witness a building up of thy churches, a revival in our land, a turning unto thee. As in former days, these places of worship filled with praying, seeking, longing souls. Think of all thy causes of truth up and down our land. Thy servants, where'er they're found, thy dear people. O Lord, do open thy hand, and may thy Spirit work mightily amongst us. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst forgive our every sin. May we take with us words and turn unto the Lord. And do, Lord, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. And may we each be found pleading that blood which did for sin atone. We ask, Lord, thy blessing upon this church and congregation. Be with those in office, the deacons, Lord, we pray. Help them in their burdens that they carry. Strengthen them and support them. But above all this, Lord, do build them up in thy grace. As a church here, we pray. And may there be the praise and the glory to thy name. We thank thee for many mercies. We meet undisturbed from the world. We can turn aside unmolested from the world around us. And we thank thee for it. Ever spare to us this liberty, we pray. May we not take it for granted. May we ever be thankful for it. Oh, but do stir us up to pray for more. So, Lord, we ask that thou remember us as we turn to thy word. Pour into the mouth of this poor sinner in the pulpit. Open the ears and the hearts of the poor hearers. May we lose sight of one another and see none but Jesus, as we pray for his sake alone. Amen.
hymn number 211. Now to the power of God supreme, the everlasting honour given, he saves from hell, we bless his name, he calls our wandering feet to heaven. Hymn 211.
Thank you.
turn with me to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 1. With the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from verse 7. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. What struck me in reading these two chapters is really those two words that are found in our text this evening, how they keep coming in whom we have redemption, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, in whom ye also trusted. And then in the following chapter, these words coming again, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded. And friends, this is the vital point. It is in whom. You see, in our own standing, in our own merits, in our own right, we have nothing. We are nothing, are we? What are we? Well, what is our righteousness? Is as of filthy rags. Our best is stained and dyed with sin. Oh, we've nothing good to bring in ourselves, in and of ourselves. You might have done what you thought was well last week. You kept yourself. But friends, you've still fallen over and over again. We fall and stumble daily. But friends, what a mercy that there is an answer to this great trial, this great distress that the Lord's dear people will feel, have felt, must feel. They must feel that their best is stained and dyed with sin. That they must feel, I've nothing good to bring. I am nothing. I am vile and unclean. Oh, I've nothing worthy of any favour. And if my soul were sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of his dear children. And beloved friends, those of you who know and love the Lord, you know that's where you began. Despising your own heart. Despising your own self. Seeing yourself as altogether unworthy, unfit, and unable to help yourself in any way, unable to save yourself in any way, unable to do anything good, to bring anything good. You cannot even promise in your best moment. You might think, as the love of Christ is flowing through your veins and through your heart, you may think that you'll never be like you once were. You might think you've changed forever. But you know, you'll have to prove it time and time again that you are, your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And you cannot promise to not sin one further sin. Who can? But what a mercy that there is one who helps poor sinners in this tremendous state they're in. There is help laid upon one that is mighty. A mighty Jesus, mighty to save. He is able to save even to the uttermost. None too far off, none out of reach of his mercy. None too unworthy, none too sinful. The point of it is this, to be shown a need of it. What a mercy then if there are any here this evening and you have, maybe you have no assurance or a standing in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you have this. You know you've no standing in your own strength. You know that you have no standing in your own right. You know you've got nothing worthy of salvation. You know you've done nothing and can do nothing worthy of forgiveness, worthy of a place in heaven. What a mercy to be shown. You see, many pass by, and sadly and very solemnly, there are some who come and go week by week into our chapels and sit under the ministry and hear the gospel preached, and yet they feel nothing of this in their hearts. They may see an outward attraction in Christ, but you see that they don't feel this in their own soul. The conviction of sin, true sorrow over their sin. Now, who can truly feel sorrow for their sins? Well, it's that soul who, under the weight and the conviction of sin, is led to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, when a soul is led to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he must cry out for mercy, when the Lord has done that work in the furnace, when the work of the furnace is done, and the rubbish is burnt away, and the conviction of sin is at its greatest, and that sinner then must cry out, is compelled to cry out. There's no hope for him other than to cry out. When that soul cries out for mercy, and the Lord in love and mercy hears and answers, which he must, and which he will in his own time, but he will when he speaks a word of peace, then they see the Lord Jesus Christ as their great sin bearer, and then there's the true sorrow for sin when they see what their sins cost. Who then can sin glibly, lightly? Can a soul that's taught that the Lord Jesus Christ is their sin bearer, when he says this is done for you, can he then turn round and sin lightly again? Does he not mourn over his sin more and more and more as he goes on? It is not the conviction of sin not something that ends with that first finding a precious Christ. But doesn't this conviction of sin go on and on and on? Doesn't it deepen and deepen? Don't you feel more and more ashamed of yourself? Don't you feel more and more unworthy of his mercy? Aren't you more and more amazed daily at his forbearance? You think back to that time when you first sought the Lord and he first heard and answered your prayer. And look at the sin and the filth and the wretchedness since that day. And yet he knew it all. And when he whispered, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." When he said, "Fear not, I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." He meant it then right through into eternity. He won't give up on you halfway through. He hasn't forgotten to be gracious. He speaks once and once only. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. And he saw me ruined in the fall. I love that. Saw me ruined in the fall. And loved me notwithstanding all. Do you see a beauty in that? Loved me notwithstanding all. You see, in me dwelleth no good thing. In my heart, it's full of wickedness. It's lurking. Oh, the blood of Christ has made a difference. But you know, I know in there. You know, it's my old heart's there. Oh, there's been a quickening. The Lord has touched my heart. But you know, I daren't trust myself one moment. You know, how can we? Unless the Lord keeps us, can we keep ourselves? In me, there's no good thing. In him, isn't there everything? In whom we have redemption. What a wonderful thing that is, isn't it? Redemption. What does it speak of? It speaks of a setting free of captives. To redeem someone. To pay the ransom price, to pay to buy the purchase. There's a people that are held captive. We think of the children of Israel in the land of Egypt, captives in slavery, in bondage, the hard taskmasters living the life of bondage and slavery. And isn't that you and I? We're slaves to Satan, aren't we? He speaks and we trot along, don't we, left to ourselves? And he's a hard taskmaster. You know, and as the Lord convinces his people and shows them that they are held captive, don't the chains get heavier? Doesn't the bondage grow deeper? Oh, to be rid of these chains. Oh, to be free from this slavery. We're slaves to Satan. In the Egypt of the world. And this redemption. How the Lord redeemed his ancient people. Brought them out of captivity. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and he set free his dear people from their chains, from that bondage. He heard the sighs and the cries of his people. And beloved friends, what a mercy that even in the evil day in which we live, there's one here and one there. Feeling the weight of the captivity, feeling the burden of it, calling out for mercy, crying for help, and his ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Oh, his ear is open unto their cry. He's attentive to those sighs and those cries. And even now, there are one here and one there, being brought out of Egypt, being brought out of captivity. And we have that song of redemption, a song of praise that flows forth as the children of Israel cross the Red Sea. And they're free from that bondage. The enemy's destroyed. You know, shouldn't our song be that song today? Those of you who fear the Lord, this is the day which the Lord hath made. Oh, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? We look back to Calvary. We see there our enemies washed away. We see Satan destroyed. You know, he's a defeated foe this evening. He's a defeated foe. Christ has burst the gates of hell. Vain the stone, the watch, the seal that we sang for our first hymn. Christ has burst the gates of hell. This song of redemption, we look back, and there, the children of Israel, on the other side of the Red Sea, with their enemies out of sight forever, destroyed in front of their eyes, this song comes forth out of their mouth. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Oh, what a mercy. There's still a remnant. Oh, there's still a remnant to be redeemed. There's still a remnant, beloved friends, upon this earth who are to be found amongst this, the redeemed. And it's in thy mercy hast thou led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Oh, to be led forth from Egypt, brought out from the world, the Lord quickening us into newness of life, making ourselves loathful in our own sight, oh, but making himself precious in our sight, proving that we're precious in his sight. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Why? Because he took notice of me. He heard my prayer. He heard my cry. He heard the sighing of the prisoner. He heard me in my bondage. He took notice of me. Why hast thou taken notice of me, seeing I am a stranger? Oh, the words of Ruth. You'll be like that, won't you? When the Lord takes notice of you, has compassion upon you, the people shall hear and be afraid. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. Oh, this beautiful song of redemption. And you know, if you read the account of the Lord Jesus riding into Jerusalem, what would have been Palm Sunday, as we call it, he there rode upon the colt, the foal of an ass, and the people cried Hosanna. The people cried Hosanna unto him. And you know, there's a wonderful similarity, but really the words they uttered were the words that were uttered at the end of the Feast of the Tabernacles, as the Jewish people, the Hebrews, celebrate that feast of the tabernacles, that they sing Psalm 113, and they sing the following psalms, and finish, that they begin with Psalm 113, which is, "Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth, who raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy of the dunghill." And they finish, they sing the psalms following until Psalm 118. And they sing this, that the stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. And in the literal translation of the word Hosanna, verse 25, Psalm 118, "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity." Oh, what a wonderful occasion that was. The Lord Jesus Christ riding into Jerusalem, and there there were found some of his dear people who literally saw the fulfilling of this psalm, prophesying of a Christ, a precious Christ, a Messiah, and they saw it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was, "Save now, O Lord, I beseech thee." Hosanna to the Son of God. "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity." Is this your desire and mine? The Lord says, "Ask, and ye shall receive." Is your desire, what is the chiefest of your desires this evening? If the Lord was to ask you a question, "Ask what I shall give thee." And God said to Solomon, "Ask what I shall give thee." Not what I may give thee, what I shall give thee. Well, what will you ask him this evening? What is it that's the most pressing thing on your spirit, on your mind? You know, you may have some hard things to deal with in your life, but do you see that day of your death? Is it, "Lord, grant me a place in thy kingdom. Grant me that I may sit at that marriage supper of the Lamb. Grant me that I may truly know what it is to be passed over in that great day. Grant me, Lord, a sign, a token that I am one of thine. Lord, grant me that I may know my sins forgiven." Maybe like the hymn, "With my burden I begin. Lord, remove this load of sin. Let thy blood for sinners spilt set my conscience free from guilt." Do you long to know this glorious Redeemer in whom we have redemption? But you know, we want it personally. We, as Paul writes, writing to the church of God at Ephesus, he says we, but you see, we want it, ye. We want "in whom ye are builded." We want that personal knowledge of him, don't we? Oh, it's personal. It's you and it's I who must stand before Almighty God. Individually, on our own, naked and bare, no fig leaf covering, just as we are. You see, there'll be a great leveling in that day, won't there? When we stand before an Almighty God, exposed as we are before him. Oh, to be found in him, that I may be found in him. Is that your desire, friend, this evening? In whom we have redemption, How? Through his blood. Oh, and he who shed his blood, why doesn't he call poor needy sinners to himself? That's the wonder of it, isn't it? To me, that's a great wonder. He who made atonement, he who bore the sin, he who bore the shame, bore the curse, welcomes, even now welcomes, needy sinners to him. He says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye individually, speaking to you personally, like Mary. He says, Mary, to her this morning. And you want that personal realization of it. But it's in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I opened my briefcase this afternoon and I found a hymn. Now, Mr. Curley will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you may have sung it at an Easter service. It was printed on a sheet. I might be wrong. I'll ask him after the service. But, you know, I happened to read it this afternoon, and it was this verse, these last two verses, that really struck me. Cast thy guilty soul on him. Find him mighty to redeem. At his feet thy burden lay. Look thy doubts and cares away. Now by faith the Son embrace. Plead his promise, trust his grace. Lord, thine arm must be revealed, ere I can by faith be healed. Since I scarce can look to thee, cast a gracious eye on me. At thy feet myself I lay. Shine, O shine, my fears away. Beloved friends, that's it, isn't it? Satan will fright you from the door. Satan will show you and tell you and convince that you're too wretched and too vile to come. He'll say, well, yes, the door's open, but not for you. Yes, the door's open, but it's for the Lord's people, and they've never done the things you've done. They don't feel the same way you feel. Their hearts aren't treacherous. They always stay in the love of Christ. They're not hot one minute and cold the next. And so he goes on. You know, he's the biggest liar out. He's the father of lies. And oh, that we could shut him up, but we can't. He's mightier than us. But what can helpless sinners do when temptations seize us? Naught have we to look unto but the blood of Jesus. And it's this blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. And it's his blood that brings redemption. It's through his blood that way is made. And poor sinner, you are vile. You are unworthy. You are wretched, but he's not. He's not. Don't limit him. You've a vile, sinful heart. He hasn't. He's everything you need. You may think you're wretched and too lost and too ruined, but his blood can cleanse the vilest of sinners. None are too far off. None are too far off. Think of Mary. Think of Manasseh. Friends, and think of sins more vile than they. But this blood, oh, how cleansing it is. How cleansing it is. And a soul, the vilest sinner out of hell, plunged in that ocean opened, that fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness, must come out spotless and white, must. The blood of Jesus Christ, it's precious to his people. Why? It's their only hope. The blood of his dear Son, what it means to the Father. Oh, when he saw the blood of his Son shed upon earth, it is finished. His Son cried, it is finished. And the Father said, yea, it's finished. And redemption work was done, and he raised him in glory on that first day of the week. Beloved friends, finished forever. The sins of his dear people put away forever, to be remembered no more, to be seen no more, though they're vile and wretched, cleansed, free from every sin, in whom we have redemption. Now, can we say we this evening? Oh, it's a vital point, isn't it? Can you say, I'm in this we? And if you can't, oh, do you long for it? Oh, then ask. You see, I believe this firmly, that any that ask, none who ask for spiritual things, for these spiritual gifts, from a heavenly Father, none will be turned away. Ask, and ye shall receive. If ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to them that ask? Now I can't, and I'm not, so don't get me wrong, asking you, compelling you, telling you to ask. But what I'm saying this evening is this, quite clearly, is that if you feel a need, if you feel a longing, if your soul says, yea, I want to be in that we, oh, I must be found in it, I must be, otherwise I'm eternally lost, may my name be written there, then, beloved friends, ask, and you shall receive. That's what we're saying this evening. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Not on your merits, not because you deserve it, not because you're worthy of it, but for Jesus' sake. For his sake. That's the answer to our prayers. And beloved friends, you've never had a prayer answered in your life for your sake. Every prayer that's answered, that you've had an answer to in your life, is for Jesus' sake. It's for his honour and glory. It's to get praise and glory to his name. How much more then will your heavenly Father give you good gifts, spiritual things, eternal things? Why, we're in the grace of God, we're enabled to pray for providential things. How much more will he grant us answers of peace for eternal things? Oh, friends, pray on. You may not have that assurance that you're in this way, but if you long for it, oh, then ask for it. He will be inquired of. He will be inquired of, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Oh, what a wonder that is, isn't it? The thing that's troubling you most, my sins, Lord, what a barrier they are. They're this stone that's separating me from the Lord Jesus. My sins, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. What a beautiful two chapters we read in God's word this evening. And he reminds the Ephesians in this epistle, he reminds them of what they were before the Lord Jesus Christ met with them. He reminds them that you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And he goes on to describe how they were. And the wonder of redemption, even when we were dead in sins, for his great love wherewith he loved us. It's a wonder, isn't it? Even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. That's your standing, friend, this afternoon, this evening. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. It's on his merits that you plead it. It's for his sake that you'll be granted an answer. It's by his grace that your name will be found in that book of life. And it's a mercy, and it's his mercy, that he's not dealt with you as your sins deserve. And your song of redemption will continue into eternity. It will last. It will endure. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Oh, this mighty Saviour, this mighty Jesus, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, we must remember this more, mustn't we? Those of us who have a hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, remember what we were. You know, you get so bogged down, don't we? We get so disheartened. Has grace really made a difference in my life? Why am I so slow in the things of God? Why am I so cumbered about with earthly things? Where is that zeal? Where's that burning love? Well, where's the love of Christ that once constrained me, that compelled me? Where is it? I come to the Lord's table month by month. Where is the softening? Where's the influence of the Holy Spirit? Where's my love to Christ? Where is it? It used to bubble up in my heart, overflowing. Oh, but wherefore, remember, friend, what you once were. Remember what you were in former days, that ye, at that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But what makes you to differ? What made you to differ? Has grace made you to differ? Oh, have you been brought to have no hope in yourself and having no hope in the world and without God in the world? Have you felt it painfully? Has grace made you to differ? But now in Christ Jesus. You see, that's it. There's a mark of it. You're in Christ Jesus, friend. If you feel that the Lord has made a difference in your life, it wasn't your doing. By grace are ye saved. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we would do well to remember that, wouldn't we? For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Oh, what love and mercy. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, and you may feel far off again tonight, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You feel far off tonight, friend? Plead the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ never, never makes a sinner flee. It brings a sinner nigh. The blood of Christ draws a sinner. It doesn't repel him. Oh, it's a fearful sight. Go by faith to Calvary. See the Lord Jesus Christ there. Friends, ask him. You feel far off, plead that he'll take you there again. Plead with him. Lord Jesus, bring me to Calvary. May I sit down and watch him there, view him in the sinner's place. May I again feel that this was done for you. Lord, speak again into my soul. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Put that song of redemption into my heart. Oh, but friend, plead that blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, plead it this evening. You feel far off. You want to be made nigh. You want nearness with him. You can't go on next week. You've got providential things ahead of you. You've got a day before you. There's mountains before you. But you know one thing. With the Lord with you, all will be well. Then plead the blood of Jesus. Oh, Lord, be nigh with me. You know, friends, how will he leave you to flounder in this world when he's gone to such lengths to save his people? Will he leave you tomorrow and next week? Oh, he may try your faith. He may test you. He tested the children of Israel after they sung that song of redemption. He took them to the waters of Marah, and he proved them there. And he'll do the same with you, but he'll bring you back with it, back to his feet, restoring your faith, building you up, building up your trust, seeing him precious again, more lovely, more able to save, more willing to save, and your own self more wretched, more vile, but him more lovely. Show us that loving man. Oh, take us to that empty tomb, and then, oh, may we see a risen, exalted Saviour. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And I'll close with this word. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £795, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Wheatley will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. John Rosier next Lord's Day, and he hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Our friends at Oakington hold their special services tomorrow. Let us close with hymn 751. The Saviour lives no more to die. He lives, the Lord enthroned on high. He lives triumphant o'er the grave. He lives eternally to save. Hymn 751.
The Saviour lives.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each now and for evermore. Amen.